The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jaya Bhataka Swami on April 30th, 1989 in Madras, Tamil Nadu, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 2.
Yang pravacchanta manupeta apeta kritiam vaipayano viraha katara ajuhava putreti tanamayatoyatara vohine dhus tan sarva bhuta hidayana munimana tosmi.
Translation. Srila Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyasa, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher caste, his father, Vyasadeva, hearing separation from him, cried out, "Oh, my son, indeed, only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved father." This is explaining when Sukadeva Goswami was born, immediately he left his father and went off. In the womb 16 years. So when he was born, he was already fully developed. He immediately walked away. Vyasadeva, his father, was crying out, "Oh my son, oh my son." But Sukadeva Goswami just went on. So the purport of this verse is explained by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The institution of Varna and Ashrama describes many regulative duties to be observed by its followers. Such duties enjoin that a candidate willing to study the Vedas must approach a bona fide spiritual master and request acceptance as his disciple. The sacred thread is the sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas from the Acharya or the bona fide spiritual master. Sri Sukadeva Goswami did not undergo such purificatory ceremonies because he was a liberated soul from his very birth. Generally, a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory processes, he is born for the second time. When he sees a new light and seeks direction for spiritual progress, he approaches a spiritual master for instruction in the Veda. The spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple and gives him the sacred thread. In this way, a man becomes twice born, or a dvija. After qualifying as a dvija, one may study the Vedas, and after becoming well versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. A vipra, or a qualified brahmana, thus realizes the absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life until he reaches the Vaishnava stage. The Vaishnava stage is the postgraduate status of the Brahmana. A progressive Brahmana must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for a Vaishnava is a self-realized, learned Brahmana. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the beginning. Therefore, there was no need for him to undergo all the processes of the Varnashrama institution. Ultimately, the aim of Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord or a Vaishnava. Anyone, therefore, who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first class Vaishnava, or Uttamadhikari Vaishnava is already considered a Brahmana, regardless of his birth or past deeds. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this principle and recognized Srila Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the holy name, although Thakur Haridas appeared in a Mohammedan family. In conclusion, Srila Sukadeva Goswami was born a Vaishnava, and therefore Brahmanism was included in him. He did not have to undergo any ceremonies. Any low-born person, be he a Kirata, Puna, Andhra, Kulinda, Kulkasa, Abhira, Sumbha, Yavana, Khasa, or even lower, can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of the Vaishnava. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was the spiritual master of Sri Suta Goswami, who therefore offers his respectful obeisances unto Srila Sukadeva Goswami before he begins his answers to the questions of the sages at Naimisharanya. Thus end the translation and purport to text number 2, chapter 2, canto 1 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Divinity and Divine Service. So, from birth, everyone is a sudra, janma. It is only by samskara that a person becomes a dvija or twice born. It is not that one is born a Brahmin. One is born a Brahmaputra or Brahmabandhu, if they're born in the family of Brahmana. But it's by samskara and achara that they become recognized as Brahmanas. The son of the high court judge isn't automatically a high court judge. He has to go to university, get his law degree, be accepted in the bar. Then if the high court law minister and others, according to the procedure, if they consider him fit, they make him a high court judge. Similarly, one is not born a Brahmana, but one becomes a Brahmana through samskara. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was predicted to reach every town and village throughout the entire world. Prativiti ache jato nagaradi gram sarvatra pracharite vaivik mornam. We find that in India there are Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra and other families. Some families are carefully preserving the traditions handed down from their forefathers. Others are not so careful in this matter. But in the Western countries, these traditions, by and large, they don't exist at all. So then how is it that all over the world this chanting and the process of bhakti yoga will be spread? Obviously, there's a need for persons to take up the role of preachers and teachers. Also, as in the Pancharatrik system, it is prescribed that before one can perform deity worship, one has to accept the sacred thread, one has to accept the Pancharatrik mantras from the Guru, coming in the Vaishnava disciplic succession. So, therefore, this principle was intended to go all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada said one of the purposes of the Krishna conscious movement is to produce first-class persons who will be working selflessly for the upliftment of society, who will achieve the perfection in their life, and in turn help others to achieve this perfection. This is the real role of a Brahmana, Vaishnava, is to become perfect or achieve full perfection in their life, and then to help others to also be freed from all suffering and to achieve the complete perfection of life. Janma sharta kori koro poro upakar. So, the process of surrendering to a spiritual master, learning the science of devotional service, rendering devotional service under his guidance, these are all standard procedures of sadhana bhakti. By practicing sadhana or practice of devotional service, step by step one can achieve the perfectional platform. Sukadeva Goswami, however, because he was liberated from his very birth, there was no necessity for him to undergo purificatory processes. For ordinary human beings, these processes are essential. Since Sukadeva Goswami received instruction directly from Krishna when he was in the womb, and he'd already realized the Param Brahma before birth, so when he was born, he was already liberated. This is a very unique situation. We call that Nitya Siddha. liberated from birth. Normally we're born nitya baddha, or bound in a samsara, in the cycle of birth and death, from the very moment of our birth and before. So this is the normal situation that we find people in. Nitya siddhas are out of billions and billions of people. On one millennia there may be some nitya siddha. Rare person will come who is born perfected. So even those normally, even someone is born a nitya siddha, they would go through the reformatory processes as an example for others. Sukadeva Goswami's situation is quite unique. Therefore, he didn't delay, he just immediately left. It was he who spoke this Bhagavad Mahapurana, the fully realized soul. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the sacred thread is given by the spiritual master to a sincere inquirer, someone who is inquiring into the absolute truth for the purpose of their own personal upliftment and for, in turn, perfecting their service to Krishna. Someone should have a sincere desire. Sincerity will be shown by actions and words. If someone is sincere, they are also willing to follow the discipline, the instructions of the Guru. Accepting the orders of Guru means that then one is bound to follow them. So the Guru may test the disciple by seeing whether the disciple is following the instructions given over a period of time. When he is convinced the disciple is diligently and sincerely practicing, then he grants this initiation to the disciple. The initiation means one is twice born. But as I mentioned here, that means he's qualified to study on a higher level, like a postgraduate status, or like admission into university. Now they can study under the guidance of the Guru very diligently. When they become qualified, they are considered vipra, or qualified Brahmana Vaishnava. Examples given here of Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Mohammedan family. Haridas Thakur was named the Nama Acharya, or the Acharya of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He would chant 300,000 names a day. 300,000 names is equivalent to 16 rounds that we chant times 12. 16 times 12 is how much? 182. 192. 192 rounds a day. 10 lakhs of names per month. 1 crore of names a month. He was very famous as a great devotee. He would go and chant and give instruction on Bhagavatam, Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur was arrested for chanting Hare Krishna by one Mohammedan ruler. So you're a Mohammedan, why you're chanting the names of Krishna? Haridas Thakur, he said that there's only one God. So many Hindus are, you're converted, they're chanting the name of Allah, they like to chant that name. What is the harm if one person chants the name of Krishna? Since there's only one God, who is known by various names, there's no difficulty at all. But unfortunately the mullahs and ayatollahs, they were not happy. So they had Haridas Thakur arrested. It's a very long story how he had all the prisoners chanting Hare Krishna, how he was whipped in 22 marketplaces, but he survived, and how in the end he made the emperor surrender and pass the order that chanting Hare Krishna would not be prohibited at all. Whether by Hindu or Muslim, everyone could chant Hare Krishna in his kingdom. Many such miraculous things happened. Parvati herself came to entice, to test Haridas Thakur, but he was not swayed. Even though she used her full maya, shakti, against him. Then she said, actually, no yogi had ever resisted me before. You are a pure devotee of Krishna, so I want to take initiation from you. So actually, he's the initiating guru of Durga. Sri Goswami offered the plate to Haridas Thakur. But there are so many brahmanas present, and they took exception that this person is born in a Mohammedan family. How are you offering to him first, bypassing all of the born Brahmins? The Advaita Goswami said, he's the most qualified Brahmin here. That's why I'm offering to him. How he can be the most qualified Brahmin? He's not born a Brahmin. Advaita said, that whatever it is, he become, now he's the most qualified Brahmin here. Because he's a pure Vaishnava,
and he has the most powerful Brahma tapes due to his constant chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and his pure devotion. But still there was they weren't convinced. So then Advaita Goswami, he offered that according to Vedic system, Brahmana should be able to ignite firewood by mantra, simply by blowing on the firewood. So I'm passing this type of wood for offering in the oven to all of you. You ignite it with your mantras by blowing. So before each Brahman, he gave the wood there. Nothing happened. Kali Yuga Brahmanas, they couldn't get it to ignite. Once after each one, in fact, for the offense against Haridas Thakur at that time, nobody could ignite any fire in the households. While this test was going, could ignite. You see, now you can get the matches, wimpo or different matches you can light. At that time you had to ignite by the various means. No one could ignite because they had committed offense against the pure Vaishnava. So each of the assembled Brahmanas tried, one after another, blowing. But the firewood wouldn't ignite. Finally, after everyone had tried, Advaita Goswami brought it before Haridas Thakur simply by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. A blowing, poof, it lit. Oh, we all watched. How did this happen? Then they could begin to understand just a minute fraction of the unlimited potency of Haridas Thakur. So then he was offered the first remnant, the prasad, then others. So Haridas Thakur, we've seen pictures with him having this sacred thread initiated into the siblic succession. But whatever it is, sometimes the sacred thread before was not given, but unless a person was born in the Brahmin family. Our previous acharyas, finding many references in the Vedas, of course some of the candidates here are born in the Brahmin family, that's beside the point. That's not the standard we look at. You see, that's one advantage. But the ultimate thing is one should have the qualities of a Brahmin. One should be acting as a Brahmin. Then one can be accepted. The Vedas say that if somebody is acting, even if they're born in a Sudra family, if they're acting as a Brahmin, they should be accepted as a Brahmin. And if somebody is born in a Brahmin family, but they act like a Sudra or lower, then they should be accepted as a Sudra or lower. Suchi hoi, muchi hoi, jadi Krishna tyaji. Muchi hoi, suchi hoi, jadi Krishna bhaji. The same teaching was emphasized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Someone gives up the principles of worshipping the Lord, then they become lowest of mankind. But if someone, even if they have no culture from their birth, but if they develop the culture, they have the culture of worshipping Krishna and pure devotion, then they are considered the best of the twice born. So therefore, somebody is engaging under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master in the Vaishnava activities of chanting, of worshipping, then they can take that, and they're wearing the Dwadasa, Urda, Pundra, the Tulsi, Kunti, Malas, Tilak, Sika, engaging in devotional service, pure vegetarian, avoiding all illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat, fish, egg, onion, and garlic eating, chanting every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the serving, whether as a grihastha or as a brahmachari, serving under the guidance of the Guru, then he can be accepted as taking the second initiation and given that sacred thread. So the ceremony we're performing tonight. The point is everybody should try to achieve the perfection of life by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. That is the real postgraduate study. If somebody has a child and the child gets a high academic degree, the parents are very proud to tell everyone, my son is an MA, or a BCom, LLB, a PhD. This has become a status symbol in society, signifying some knowledge, formal knowledge from educational institution, disciplined brain. But actually the parents should be most happy if their children become qualified as a pure devotee of Krishna. That is the real perfection of life. Yesterday we read in the newspaper how sitting high court judge of one of the states, high court, he became frustrated and he blew his head off with his pistol, committing suicide. So although he was highly qualified,
Eventually had law degree, he was a high court judge. But because of frustration, some personal anxiety or problem, he could not have the peace of mind, he committed suicide. A very unfortunate thing to hear. All the material learning doesn't save one from frustration or give the peace of mind. It may help one to get a job or to do some particular work. Ultimately, the real peace and happiness is coming from within that we need to achieve by developing our God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. So the parents should not be satisfied unless the children become God conscious. What is the use of pushing the children only for the material academic achievements if ultimately they, due to lack of spiritual peace of mind, if they commit suicide or they become drug addicts or they become cheaters and as we say, charsovis or 420s or whatever, if they engage in various type of illicit activity due to lack of character. So side by side with material knowledge, Ishopanishad says we should develop our spiritual knowledge. Just like two tracks of the railway. We need both the material and the spiritual side. In the past so many years now, balance has gone too much on the material side and spiritual vacuum has come up even in India for many people. Those who are responsible or understand this, realize the importance of the spiritual part of life, they should encourage their children, their family, and personally practice these principles of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, praying, offering obeisances, serving the lotus feet, becoming a dedicated servitor, being a friend of the Lord, or surrendering everything. So, principles of Krishna consciousness is not difficult. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Eating Krishna prasadam, whether you have a feast tonight. So this eating of Krishna prasadam is very wonderful. Although it's an austerity, by one form it's a sacrifice. You're eating the remnants of sacrifice. But you can offer to Krishna very nice offerings and take the remnant. Only the offering should not have onion, garlic, meat, fish or eggs. It should be sattvic. It should be freshly cooked. Should not be tasted by anyone beforehand. Should be all fresh and nice ingredients with ghee, milk, yogurt, other things added. Grains, fruits, vegetables, cheese. Then offering to the Lord, accepting the remnant. What is the difficulty? Every animal is eating. Human being is also eating. The difference is human being eats prasadam, offering the food to Krishna and then eating. The animal eats whatever they get. They don't think that I have to offer first to the Lord by preparing in a nice way and placing before the picture or deity of the Lord and offering with mantra and then accepting the remnant. Everything we should do, we do should be dedicated to the Lord. Just as we have to pay income tax if we earn a profit. Similarly, for all our activities, we are getting so much from Krishna. Without Krishna, we don't have anything. So we have to pay our tax to Him. We have to also reciprocate and give our love to Him. Then our life is properly situated. Otherwise we're thieves, taking without giving. So when someone accepts the second initiation, that means that they're accepting the role of being a perfect example, trying to achieve this, being exemplary in society of a life dedicated to service to Krishna, where the objective of life of pleasing Krishna is never lost sight of. A true teacher must teach by example, not only precept, by example and by words, both. We hope that the candidates will take this very seriously and we hope all the guests and visitors here will go on practicing Krishna consciousness, and we hope that in your practice you're all achieving a sublime experience of transcendental bliss and transcendental knowledge. If there are any questions, you can ask Hare Krishna.